this time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, your friend from James E. from the Dry County area, to be speaking on the topic of unrealistic expectations. So let's introduce James.
What's up, guys? I'm Jamie. I'm a drug addict. Thank you, Josh. Not going to lie to you guys, I'm a little overwhelmed. I don't fancy myself as some sort of circuit speaker or any guru or shit, I don't even have the words for what I want to say right now, but I went outside earlier and said a little prayer about 5 minutes before I came back inside in hopes that it might help me carry some sort of message to some other addict. I'd like to thank my friends that thought enough about me and the recovery that I've tried to achieve and live the last few years to ask me to come up here, man. I respect the guy that asked me to be here. Consider him a good friend, and I have no doubt that he thought maybe I had something worth sharing, and that's why I'm here. I'm not going to stand up here and preach to you. I'm not going to holler at you. I may, if I get real uncomfortable, try to make you laugh a little bit, because I've noticed that I do tend to lean towards shit like that when I'm uncomfortable. And I would like to assure you that I am real uncomfortable right now. With that said, also, when I got the phone call from my friend Patrick to let me know that indeed, you know, I was coming out here to speak, I immediately got real uncomfortable, and I knew that feeling inside, man. I could recognize those feelings, and I also knew that after having done some work on myself the last few years, that generally when I work through feelings like that, there's rewards on the other side. So I went through that negative shit for about 10 minutes, and then quickly, you know, decided that I was going to accept and, you know, do my best. And you know what? My best is good enough most of the time nowadays. I'm not going to sit here and tell you a whole lot about my using. I'm going to guess, the fact that you're in not only a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, but you're at a convention of or for Narcotics Anonymous, that you probably have used drugs and figured out how to do that. And like myself, it progressed to the point where it got real fucked up and caused you lots of problems in your life. So I've got, you know, I'm guessing about 20 minutes to talk, and I'm going to choose not to spend it talking about that sort of shit. I hope that's okay with everybody. I started using when I was about 12 or 13. In 2005, I got out of jail again, and I was full of anger, or what I thought was anger, and a lot of fear. My using had got to the point where I couldn't use in the comfort of my own home or in my backyard without getting arrested or hurting people that I loved, hurting myself. My life was unmanageable, and that's putting it politely. September 18th of 2005, you know, I like to say and have said to people on many occasions, before that evening was over with, I was fit to be tied. And the state police and the county police in St. Mary's County, Maryland, they tied me. That's where my using got me. I did something a little different when I got out of jail several months later this time, and I had a friend who I can remember using with and looking at him. He was that friend that made it, he was one of my justifications for being able to do what I wanted to do, because he was really fucked up. You know, I used to point my finger at him. Anyway, he had found the rooms while I was still busy doing research, and he got me to some meetings, man. I was out of ideas, you know. He got me to the rooms. He had something that you know, that light that you see in a new addict, or not a new addict, but somebody who's found true recovery, and you know, he started taking me to meetings. When I got here, I hadn't had a license, you know, in over 10 years, a driver's license, that is. I had custody of my two youngest children, and I had a corner of my parents' basement that I was living in. Again, that's where my using had got me. So I didn't have a whole lot to offer anybody, you know. I feel like I have something to offer these days. I've got a good collection of friends. I didn't have a whole lot of expectations when I got here. I just wanted the, like I said, I was full of fear and misdirected anger. I was confused. I certainly lacked direction. I was a child. Real self-centered. I don't know that I had. I'm gonna try to be creative and get this thing around to unrealistic expectations. But please don't hold it against me if I don't, because I really don't. Other than some shit I scribbled down on a piece of paper about 5 minutes before the meeting started, I really don't have a whole lot. But anyway, I didn't have any expectations, because I realized I was out of answers. That was a good thing, man. I finally realized that I didn't have the answers anymore, and I started, you know, I guess I was in enough pain to be open-minded, maybe start listening a little bit and taking some suggestions. It didn't happen overnight. I'm going to try to speed this up a little bit. I feel like I'm kind of lagging, but you know, I started collecting the colorful key tags and all the new clothes and jeans and all that shit, because I knew when I was getting my colorful key tags, everybody was going to be looking at me, because, you know, I had arrived and my life was getting better. And you know, I collected all those key tags, even the one that glows in the dark, and the truth is that, you know, a year clean, I had all these key tags, and I didn't own anything that required a key. I say that to, I guess, be realistic about this thing. You know, I spent 35 years of my life fucking it up, and it didn't get better overnight. That first year or two, some of the craziness stopped, but a lot of the pain and all of the feelings involved with the shit I had been doing for 35 years certainly hadn't changed, because, truth be told, I hadn't done any work on myself. So, you know, I was a drug addict that wasn't using drugs, is what I was. Simply put, you know, that first sponsor of mine, and I hate to beat him up, and I'm not going to use his name, but the people in my area probably know who he is, the ones that the people that I choose to associate with or have for many years now. Well, he's out. He's doing his thing again. When I was 2 years clean, my sponsor decided to go back out and do a little more research, and I don't bring that up to throw stones at him. I bring it up to, you know, it's a fact. He's, you know, we're drug addicts. Drug addicts use drugs. Drug addicts that don't do work on themselves and change the way they think, the way they cope with their feelings. I think their success rate is probably a little lower than the ones who choose to stick around and do a little work on themselves. There you go. That's kind of like a little segue into some unrealistic shit. A buddy of mine, a really good friend of mine who passed away, I'm going to have to go into my first Moyerism of the night. Used to like to say, I'm going to fuck it up a little bit, but please bear with me, and hopefully you'll get the point by the time it's done. He used to like to talk about or compare the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous to a gym. You know, you can't go home at night and pound Ben and Jerry's and bags of Doritos and then walk into the gym the next day and sit in a fucking chair for an hour and watch other people work out and follow a routine and dip out every 15 minutes to smoke a cigarette or play grab ass with somebody or, you know, play on your phone or whatever the case may be. And then call everybody's attention and to let them know that, you know, this fucking gym doesn't work. Like I say, I'm not trying to say I have a handle on this thing, and I don't think that I know a whole lot, but I'm pretty sure the gym works if you choose to work it. You know, it's an action program. I don't know where all this shit's coming from. Certainly, a lot of it is not mine. I think a lot of it comes from the collection of people that have chose to let me into their lives, the ones that have chose to help me, the people that came before me and were patient. Very much like the people that I surrounded myself with right before this meeting started when I was uncomfortable again. Didn't know how to deal with the feelings I was going through again. I was getting ready to do something for the first time again, enter into an unknown place again. And those people comforted me, gave me the pat on the back that I needed. You know, made me laugh because they know that's what I needed. Those are the kind of people I surround myself with today. I keep a lot of trying to keep a lot of stuff simple. They say, you know, one of the many sayings, you know, that I've heard around here is it's a simple program for, you know, simple people, and I'm pretty simple. You know, if I surround myself and spend what little bit of free time I have with negative people and I do negative shit, it stands to reason that I'm going to get negative results. These days I try to surround myself with positive people, people in recovery who are doing positive things. And you know, I'm guessing the percentage of me, you know, getting some positive results is probably a lot better. I think that's pretty realistic. I don't think clean time equals recovery. I don't think just because I've got a little bit of clean time under my belt that I know everything. I don't think I'm perfect. I don't think that I'm better than anybody with, you know, a few days clean. I spent the weekend, you know, with several of my closest friends in recovery, and truth be told, you know, there was some unmanageable shit going on. We're still quite fucked up. We are. You know, that's the truth. I think through doing some work on ourselves, we've all developed some coping skills. You know, even though we were going through shit all weekend and getting on each other's nerves, as you're going to do, or as it's been my experience when I spend time with my peers for any extended length of time, they're going to get on my fucking nerves. And they did. And I'm quite certain I got on their nerves. But You know, there was no physical altercations. There was certainly no drug use. But there was lots of laughter and good times and understanding and a little bit of fighting. And you know, that's not really a bad way to spend a weekend in my book. I don't know, man. Life's good. It's you know, when I got here, I had a probation officer and you know some counselors and a whole lot of court dates. You know, did I say probation officer? Okay, you know what? I might have had two probation officers. As a matter of fact, I think I did. Anyway, I don't have any of those things these days. I've got some good people in my life. My sponsor made a special trip out here today. I forgot to mention, I did get another sponsor shortly after my first one decided to get back out using. And about 3 years into my recovery, when this man came into my life, we started to do a little bit of work on me, and that's when my life started to change for the better. That's when the magic started to happen for me. I'll forever be grateful for that, John, and I still am to this day, and I appreciate you being here today. I have no doubt you had other places you could be today, or rather be, and it means a lot to me that you're here. Yeah, that, you know, step work, what a journey, man. I certainly didn't, when I got here several years ago, expect to be spending hours at a time writing about myself and then sitting down with another grown man, you know, expressing my fears and my feelings and my wants and my needs and my desires. That's where it happens, man. That's where the magic happens. It's not really a secret. You know, for those of us who are willing, you know, to put the work in, I believe the magic will happen for anybody. How much time have I got? I'm kind of like rambling now. Josh has informed me that I have 8 minutes. Thank you, Josh. And I don't have to use it. I don't know. I'm not going to sit up here and burn any more time with this young man sitting in front of me. Looks like he may have a message. And one of the many things that I've heard in the rooms that make a lot of sense is that you know, part of sharing is learning how to share the time. So rather than sit up here and ramble and try to be creative, I'm just going to say thank you again. I'm grateful. And I hope you all have a great weekend. Thanks for letting me share.
All right, let's all give Jamie another hand for sharing. All right, our next speaker is Kevin Q from Philadelphia. He's going to be speaking on the topic of learning to live in the moment. So let's give a hand to Kevin. Can I touch it? That's what she said. I'm going to ask you, Kevin. Oh, man. Whenever I'm ever asked to share, I always like to start off, if you guys could just do me a quick favor, just turn to the person next to you and please just give them a hug. I'm an actor named Kevin.
Kevin.
Thanks to Jamie for sharing. And he's right, man. I'm like right there with him. This is ridiculous.
ridiculously nervous. I'm not even speaking sentences clearly, right? This is the first time I've ever had to share at a workshop. But I'm kind of nervous. I don't know what I'm going to say. The topic is learning to live in the moment. And I've been thinking about it for a couple of days, which is kind of contradictory to what the topic is, right? So we'll see. I like to start off whenever I get asked to share, and I'll try to mind the closeness. I'm not used to a mic either. To ask people to turn to the person next to them and give them a hug, just because, it's so important. I think it's one of the greatest things that kind of defines us as a fellowship, right, is the hug. And I remember early on, it was kind of just drilled into me that, just show up. Right, just show up, and eventually, if your body's there long enough, your mind will eventually follow. Right, and there were a lot of times where I'd be in meetings, and I really wasn't, sure that I was really buying into this thing that you guys were trying to sell me, recovery. Right, but I was showing up because that's what I was told to do, and I had those moments where I would be in a meeting, and I'm like, "Fuck this place," and hands folded, sitting in the back, not really wanting to be there. And someone gave me a hug and kind of pulled me out of that negativity just for a second so I could kind of participate in what we were trying to do here. I think that the hug is so important, man. And I got to compliment the hug squad at the convention this year, man. You guys are on point, right? And not to say that previous years were very bad. However, I've been very aware of the fact that they've just been on point this year. And I've had some really good hugs today from the hug squad. And Josh said in Philadelphia, I don't want to be like false pretenses or whatever. I live in Conshohocken, but it's a really hard word to pronounce. And I didn't, thanks. My friend Teresa's like, yeah, you live in cocksucker? What? I'm like, no, it's Conshohocken, right? So it's just easier to say Philadelphia, right? Which is, it's not far out of the city, right? It's close enough. So... learning to live in the moment, and I want to thank Patrick for asking me to share also, kind of like Jamie was asked to share too, and it is really humbling to get the call to be asked to share at a workshop, I don't know, I'm here, so here we go. Learning to live in the moment, and I probably will continue to just repeat that phrase as like a buffer to kind of collect myself for a second. I guess what I kept coming back to is just, to the beginning, right, of getting here and kind of just the awkwardness of like early recovery, like not really knowing what you're supposed to do, seeing a lot of people that seem to be happy, right? But still kind of living a lifestyle of using but not having a chemical in your body, right? That awkward phase of like, I'm not really sure, but I'm showing up and I've kind of tried some other things and I feel like shit every day and I want to fucking kill myself and I don't know what else to do. So I'm just showing up here, and hopefully there's an answer somewhere along the way, because I don't really know what else to do, it was really easy to be motivated to go to meetings when a nice girl was like, hey, you're kind of cute, right? And I was like, oh, really? And, I started to make relationships with people, and they're like, hey, listen, it's suggested that you probably not get romantically involved with somebody your first year clean. I'm like, I am 17 years old, and you do not know what kind of sex drive I have. So I'm going to go to meetings, and I'll get a home group, and I'll get a sponsor, and I'll do the 90-90, but I'm going to, this girl's saying I'm cute, right? So I'm gonna see what that's about. And she had 2 years clean, so I figured she knows something, right? So, and I only had 2 weeks, so we're good to go, right? It's going to be fine. Yeah, the famous last word, it's going to be fine. Yeah, so it only lasted a few months. You know, I was sick, and I had no idea how to be in a healthy relationship. I had no business being in one, right? But of course, when I tried to break up with her three times, because the first time and the second time didn't take because I kept going back, right? So by the third time, it was like, yeah, this is completely done, and you know, you're messed up, and I can't believe you were showing naked pictures of me and stuff, and why did I even let her take a naked picture of me? That was stupid. But, you know, shit happens. She's like, I'm going to take a picture. I'm like, oh, okay. And, yeah. So, awkward, being a bean is like, you know what I look like naked, and we're never going to be intimate. That's kind of weird. And for a long time, I blamed her. Like, you should have known better, right? Like, I 2 weeks clean. You're trying to, like, have me be this guy that I don't even know who I am yet. Like, you're so messed up, right? And on and on and on. And, you know, it wasn't really till I got involved with, you know, sponsorship and the step process that, you know, like, I stopped getting high and I substituted getting high for having sex with this chick, right? And this relationship, or what I thought was a relationship. And regardless of how it ended or, you know, what I felt was done wrong to me or whatever the situation, like, I didn't have any business being in this relationship with this girl at the time because I didn't know how to have one, right? And it was really humbling to kind of honestly say that and accept that, like, I was fucked up. I had no idea how to be a man. I was a little boy, right? And I really found some peace in being able to accept that stuff, you know, because I was carrying around all this hatred towards this person. Like, I'd see him in meetings, and, like, it was very difficult to go to meetings where this person was. So I'm like, I always just wanted to point the finger, unless I did that use it. I always pointed the finger at everybody else. Like, I was never wrong of anything. And it was kind of an awakening to, yeah, you were wrong, Kevin. You were wrong. You know, whether your intention was to, you know, I don't know, I'm talking about myself in third person. Whether it was my intention to stop getting high and start, you know, trying to substitute, really, you know, I don't know. I don't know about all that stuff. But that's what I did, you know, when I was causing harm in someone else's life. And it was a hard pill to swallow at first, you know. But that was kind of like the beginning of learning to live in the moment, right? Learning to accept my reality for what it is, not live in the past. Right? Not think, you know, what it's going to be like 20 years from now. Like, what's going on right now? Am I living in today? Am I accepting myself for the things that I've done? Right? And trying to build my character, right? Because, you know, like, living clean, right, is an improvement, right? Living clean in recovery is definitely a fucking come up, right? And it took me a while to kind of understand that I was just living clean and still kind of crazy until I started working the steps and really starting to, like, find out more about who I am and how do I integrate these principles that we talked about, right, into my life, and how do I start to evolve into this man that I want to be, right? It's definitely not by, like, you know, using some girl as a whole, right? It's not that way, you know. It's trying to find out how to be a good significant other, right? How to have some integrity for the person that you say that you care about, right? Can you talk about them when they're not in the room as if they were in the room, right? And that stuff, all that stuff took time. It was, you know, it wasn't overnight. You know, and learning to live in the moment, sometimes it really sucks, man. Sometimes it really sucks. Because the reality is, like, I'm a pleasure seeker, right? I want to, like, feel good all the time. Right? And that's why I got high. I wanted to feel good all the time. And the reality is, like, just because I'm clean now doesn't mean that life is just going to be easy and smooth sailing and everything's going to be great and, you know, and sunshine and every day is going to be a holiday. It's like, no, like, sometimes life's going to, like, be difficult and I'm going to have to deal with it somehow. And really learning to live in the moment is, how do I deal with life when it shows up? How do I deal with, you know, big boy stuff when it happens? You know, do I hide and do I call out of work for 3 days so I can watch season 1 to 5 of The Wire, which, by the way, is the fucking best television series ever, right? And I'm not just saying that because I'm in Maryland. I truly believe it, right? Love The Wire. And I could do that, right? I'll do that occasionally. I'll watch season 1 to 5, like, straight through, you know? And it's easy to escape and not deal with reality, you know? But I only lose. I only lose in the end because I never know how to be the man that I want to be. I never learn how to, you know, accept and deal with life as it comes when I hide, you know? You know, and sometimes life is really weird with stuff where it comes up, you know, it can be easy, simple stuff like, you know, the job's difficult or, you know, like paying bills and shit like that. Like the simple stuff that we take for granted, right? But a couple of years ago, I had this lady in my life who, you know, she has the title of aunt even though she's not my blood relative. You know, she's known me since I was like 5. And she, her husband had gotten really sick, and you know, they knew that he was going to pass away soon. It just kind of happened suddenly at the end, and he passed away. And she took it very hard. You know, it was very difficult for her to deal with this. And she's a normal person. She's not an addict. She has no program of recovery. And you know, I got the call a couple of years ago, and from my mom one Friday night that, you know, she was admitted to the hospital for trying to commit suicide. And think about if you have anybody in your life who is just like, to me, she's like the sweetest person I've ever met. You know, like, even like, you know, sometimes when you talk shit on people, right, there's always that one person that kind of gets in on the bandwagon with you, like, yeah, fuck them, right? She's never like that. She's always the sweet one who's like, always looking for the silver lining. Well, maybe they just had a bad day. You know, like, she's that person in the group. She's the she's the sweetheart of the group, right? And, you know, and I remember getting that call from my mom, my heart just sank, you know. The first time she had taken a bunch of pills, and her sister-in-law lived next door, and she came over and found her, and they took. She went to the hospital and was like, oh, I just took too many pills. They pumped her stomach. And then the next day, you know, she had stuck the knife in her neck and pulled across and then slit her wrists. And, you know, just seeing her in an institution was very difficult. You know, she survived and she's alive today. But just the emotional, like, upheaval, that whole event, I didn't expect it, right? I wasn't prepared for that shit, right? And it's the reality of life. That stuff happens, you know, and I don't hear, I mean, I don't, I'm sure it has to be a lot of people's experiences with having a close person to them or having some kind of proximity to suicide, right? But I don't hear it talked about a lot in meetings, but it's a reality, especially, I know it is a reality, especially for addicts. I had a cousin who killed himself when I was 15, he was 18, and he shot himself in the head, and he can never go to another meeting, he can never have another chance. You know, so I know that it's a reality, right? But, you know, and I only bring that up because it's, you know, learning to live in the moment, right? It was such a... it was such a difficult time emotionally to, you know... But look, all I did was I just showed up, right? I showed up and I told her that I loved her. And I shared my experiences with her, and you know, and I was there, and you know, made her understand that she's a part of our family, right? Like, it's my mom and my sister. I have a younger sister, and she's definitely a part of our family, you know. And it was really rough, man, and it really hit close to home, you know. There's somebody in here today, you know, who shared this morning. I went to a workshop this morning on somebody who was very instrumental in me getting clean, right? And it's funny to hear other people, like, talk about her, referencing her impact on my life. Like, two of my really good friends this morning were talking to other people, like, yeah, we're going to this workshop because there's this woman, Sharon, who helped save Kevin's life. I'm trying not to cry because I can't talk when I cry. It just comes out all fucked up. So it's not like I'm not trying to feel the emotion. It's I'm trying to be able to share clearly. because I really can't. It's a mess when I cry. I can't talk at all. I don't have that ability to talk through the tears. So I'm trying not to cry because of that. But it's true, you know, we talk about when at the end of the road, right? At the end of my road, it was the best idea that I could come up with was, you know, I'm such a piece of shit, and I've let down everybody again, right? Why not just die? Because that's the only thing I could think of that would probably be best for everybody in my life, you know, and I can empathize with my aunt of that feeling of desperation, right? But it's so self-centered. It's so self-centered that I was that, you know, caught up in myself that I didn't think that it would affect anybody else if I tried to kill myself, you know. And, you know, and I came really close, man. I came really close. I came so close that I lost my bowels. And I remember being in Montgomery Hospital in Pennsylvania and handcuffed to a bed. And my mom and my dad and this woman, Eileen, in the hospital, you know, asking me, like, do you want to get help? Because we're here to help you, you know. And just throwing my hands up, like, I don't know anymore. I don't know, you know. And and then here we are some years later, right? and we're both clean, and it's a miracle. You know, God is definitely good, man. God is definitely good. You know, and I forgot to say this other part too. You know, Live in Conshohocken, my home group is Thursday nights in Manioc at 7:30, called Living the Dream. You know, and it's so appropriate too for just how my life is, man. Like, I am living the dream. Like, my life is amazing. It really is. My life is just awesome. You know, and you know, there's this guy in my home group who, he was sharing this the other day, one of my good friends, and he was just like, look, he's got a couple more years than I do. He's like, if you got this much clean time and you're like sharing about the same bullshit over and over again and me, and like, something's wrong with your life. He's like, my life is awesome, and I smile all the time. I'm like, he's right. Like, my life is so good. Like, I really don't have anything to complain about. I can find things to complain about, right? But I really have luxury problems. And it's only as a result of staying clean and working some steps and having some, allowing some people to help me, right? That's the only way that I have what I have today, you know? And it's funny, I always think about this time too, like, you know, learning to live in the moment. You know, when you're hanging out, right, and you're like, you see somebody, you're like, oh, it's so good to see you. I was thinking about you, but I didn't call you. Right? You hate that shit. I used to hate that forever, right? People would say that, like, oh, so good to see you. I was thinking about you, but I didn't call you. Well, a couple years ago, I really tried to start implementing the opposite of that in my life, like thinking about people and just immediately calling them, like, hey, I was thinking about you, so I wanted to call you, right? And it kind of throws some people off guard a little bit, but it's nice to get the reaction of, like, oh, huh, okay. Like, but it catches on, man. Like, just trying to pay it forward a little bit. It really is like those little things that are so impactful that kind of ripple out throughout the rest, right? Like, coming in a meeting, getting a hug, like, something simple as getting a hug can have such a huge impact, right? I don't know. My life is really good today, though. You know, I've been feeling really funky for like a month. You know, came down here this weekend with my fiance and a good friend of ours, and dude, I swear, like, we were driving through the rain and it was just such like this tumultuous storm, right? But the moment we got into Maryland, like, the storm stopped and the sun came out, and I just kind of felt my spirit start to like rise a little bit. I'm like, dude, something's up with this convention. I just feel it. Like, I started to feel good. And my friend Andrew's like, you think there's like a spiritual bubble for this convention? I'm like, totally. I feel like we just stepped into the Copernicus spiritual bubble, right? We've been coming here. I've been coming here. This is my 10th year here at this convention. Some of my friends have been coming longer than that. But I've definitely felt I've definitely felt it was bound to happen. I'm a marble mouth, right? I'm all dried out. But I definitely felt a shift in my spirit coming into Maryland for this convention. You know, it's always been like a place of kind of like getting back together with friends that I've been friends with for years, right? Like, and that's a miracle in and of itself, that I have friends that have the same amount of clean time as me, and we're all still clean, and we all continue to show up every year together, and you know, continue on this journey and in this process of coming to this convention, right? And we laugh, and oh my God, dude, I'm so grateful to be able to laugh today. We played this game called Cards Against Humanity last night. It's so inappropriate, but I love it. It's so good. If you've never heard of it, you gotta just fucking Google it later or something. It's so inappropriate, right? But it's right up my alley because I'm such a weirdo that I love it. We were up to like 2 a.m. playing this game, just cracking up laughing. And, you know, again, going back to just being a part of, right? Like, I could have easily continued to just be in this funk that I've been in, right? And just tried to bring some casualties in of like, I feel funky, so you're going to feel funky too. Let's go in, right? But I didn't. I was like, I'm just embracing this. And I had a sponsor who you know, the second sponsor I ever had was like, you know, trying to get the girl, the All Mrs. Wrong, to like, you know, show interest in me, and it didn't work out. I remember feeling like this emotional pain. He's like, you need to embrace this pain. I'm like, fuck you. I'm not embracing shit. He's like, no, you need to embrace the pain, right? And he was right. I hated him for it. I wanted to punch him in the face, right? But he was right that I need to embrace that shit, right? Whether it's good or bad or indifferent, like, that's part of living in the moment, right? Embracing what's going on, you know, and doing some appropriate laughter last night was embracing what was going on, right? And I'm so grateful for those moments, man. I'm just grateful to be alive, right, for one. And I don't know how much more time I got. But I'm just truly blessed to be here. And thanks again to Patrick for asking me to share. I'm so glad that, like, this wasn't a packed room until I'm like, oh, it's 6:15, it's before the main speaker, there'll be hardly anybody there, it's great. So it kind of, like, took a little bit of the pressure off, so it was kind of nice. But, I'm definitely, like, a heart-on-my-sleeve kind of guy, you know, and it's true, you know, and I just have a lot of love in my heart for a lot of people, and I'm so grateful for the people that I have in my life, you know, and that I kind of allow them to, like, love me wherever I'm at. You know, sometimes it's real funky, sometimes that's making an inappropriate joke, sometimes that's, I don't really know what else. I'm kicking the sand and looking down and feeling sorry for myself, but, you know, just allowing people to, allowing people into my weird little world, right? And if nobody told you that they love you today, man, you're fucking hanging out with the wrong people. Thanks, let me share.
All right, let's thank Kevin again for sharing.
We do have some time left.